Tonight, the sitcom Friends does not so much end as enter the land of eternal reruns. 10 years' worth of episodes should keep entire cable channels programmed for decades. But for those who waited on every week's episode for some new twist in the lives of Ross, Joey, Chandler, Phoebe, Monica, and Rachel, it's all nostalgia and no surprise from here on in. Of course, for people who didn't await each episode with eagerness, the surprise is that so many others did. James Poniewozik writes about television for Time magazine, and James, how do you explain the success and the popularity of Friends?
I think it's a combination of factors. I mean, like every big success, it's the right show at the right time. I mean, I think that in one sense, it was the right themes. It was a show that really tapped into a feeling and sort of a zeitgeist among its audience, which was sort of young people the age of its characters. And it was, in a way, a family comedy where the living room couch was often replaced by the couch at the coffee shop.
This is a program in which, as you say, it was designed to appeal to people who were in roughly the same circumstance or the same age as the people the program was about, and those people were the people television networks wanted to reach.
Well, that was another brilliant thing about Friends that made it the right show at the right time. I mean, Friends is a show of the era of demographic programming, when the holy grail was to get a large group of desirable young viewers whom advertisers wanted to reach, preferably on Thursday night when they could show them ads for big new movie releases that would be debuting that weekend. And the great thing about Friends is that if the show Friends existed on the show Friends, the characters in Friends would have been watching Friends. It was a show about its audience for its audience.
We should say there have been other attempts at a similar idea. The show very often is funny. I mean, very often they tell a joke well.
Yes, surprisingly, the whole funny bit also helped it succeed. As many people learned, you couldn't just take a group of young people, give them cups of coffee, and sit them on a couch and replicate the success of Friends. And it was pretty much impossible to replicate the chemistry that you had among those six actors.
Can you look back over 10 seasons of Friends and say, well, here and there, this sitcom actually brushed up against a serious idea?
I think it brushed up against a serious idea in a deliberately non-serious way. It's a show that is about love and connections, in which you had very few sort of traditional marriages and relationships. You had surrogate parenting, and you had divorce, and you had lesbian marriage, and you had adoptions. All of this within a framework that was sort of deliberately innocuous.
So you had very transient relationships, and you had, as you said, a lesbian couple, but somehow one wouldn't expect a vice president of the United States to lay into Friends the way Vice President Quayle did with Murphy Brown for having a child out of wedlock.
Exactly, and yet in a way it was just as significant. If it was important for Murphy Brown to show that a single woman could have a baby out of wedlock and result in a fight with the vice president, it was just as important, or maybe more so, for Friends to show that Rachel, could have a baby out of wedlock, and tens of millions of people would just think it was the sweetest thing in the world.
I'm just curious, as a TV critic, did you look forward to this show coming on each week, or was it just part of the job, or is it something you like or not especially?
I actually really enjoy the show. I mean, it was never one of my favorite shows. I don't think anybody could make a case that it was ever one of the most inventive or brilliant shows on TV, but it was almost always really, really solidly good.
Well, James Poniewozik, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
James Poniewozik writes about television for Time magazine.